Folks, we're in this family series. Next week is the last of the family series. And this morning, this weekend, I've been very much looking forward to minister this, because this is, there's minors in scriptures and then there's majors. And gang, this is a major. We've talked about love, live, and now we're going to talk about what it is to forgive. Gang, you can't be in any type of relationship without having the ability or the willingness to forgive. Any relationship you will ever find yourself in, if you're in a relationship, you will have to have the ability and the willingness. It's a willingness to be able to forgive in that relationship. And we're talking about family. We're talking about husbands and wives. We're talking about between brothers and sisters, sisters and sisters, brothers and brothers, children and parents, parents and children. It applies. Bring it into your family. If you are alive, you have someone that is a part of your family. And in that relationship, somewhere, there has to be forgiveness. Has to be. And we're going to see the major emphasis that God puts on this. When I tell you it is a major, it is a major. And when God is so serious about this issue of forgiveness, we're going to see it this morning. He tells us, this is how serious God takes it. If you don't forgive, my hands are tied. I can't forgive. That's to the church. If you as a believer don't forgive others, I can't forgive you. That's a major, folks. God, who is all powerful and can do anything, when he says I can't forgive, that's serious. That's serious. We got to take this as serious in relationship. When you understand what it is to forgive, you understand what it is to walk free. And listen, please don't misunderstand this. We're not going to have time to develop in full, but there's a difference between forgiveness and trust. I can forgive you. That does not mean biblically I have to trust you. When somebody has so hurt you and crossed the line of regards to trust, that is what it takes to be a long time to repair. But forgiveness is a decision. Forgiveness, I can willingly make a decision right now to let it go and to forgive you. But that does not mean I'm going to trust you immediately. That has to be, that is how serious it is when you build trust with someone, that you maintain that and you keep that and you walk that line very clearly in regards to doing everything possible not to break that trust. There is a difference, folks. Understand that. But we're going to get into this thing. Let's just pray. And I'm asking that you would allow God to minister to you this morning. If you're in a marriage and it is a broken marriage and you are hurting in your marriage, chances are much of that comes from unforgiveness, allowing bitterness to be built up. If you're in a home where there is bitterness between parents and children, between children and parents, between brother and sister, or sister and sister, or much of that very well could come from somewhere along the line. You forgot and you didn't forgive and you just allowed that to build up and build up and build up and layer itself and layer itself and layer itself. And listen, we live in Wesley. We deal with snow. We deal with ice. If you're one who doesn't clean off your driveway and you just keep driving on it over and over and over, man, there is a pile of ice and you have to chip and you have to chip and you have to chip and you have to dig in to try to get rid of it because you didn't deal with it right away. It's the same thing. Same thing with unforgiveness. When it is dealt with immediately, it is removed. When you allow it to build and build and build and build and build, you need to have a chisel and you need to get to work. Folks, it's a decision. So please, please hang with me in this message. I have a high expectation this weekend that we walk out of this place, that we don't come to play church, folks. We don't come to just check a box is what we do. We come to have an experience in regards to an understanding of who God is, that we walk in an experience of leaving this place, having an experience of His Word. God, Your Word can change my world. I've experienced Your truth. And it can change my home. I've experienced Your Word, which is alive and powerful, and it can change who I am. God, I've experienced this. I see it now very clearly that it is truth, that I need to walk this thing out, and that will change my relationships. You get that this morning, you walk out of this place different. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this opportunity. God, it is a privilege to preach to these amazing people. God, it is an honor. Thank You for the privilege. Thank You for the honor. God, I do not take it lightly. I do not take it for granted that people choose to be here this morning by their choice. Somebody invited them. They've been a part of this church for a long time. They choose to be here, God. Thank You for that. Thank You for the privilege to be able to speak in lives that are hungry for You, So, Father, I ask that every eye in this place will be open to see what they need to see, and every ear in this place will be ready to hear it this morning. And God, the hearts of men and women in this place would be hungry, would be a sponge for your truth this morning. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Now, folks, please, I ask that you would ask God this morning. I am here. Father, speak to me this morning. Father, speak to me this morning. I am ready to hear this. Convict me this morning. Show me, God, your word. Holy Spirit, help me this morning to understand this. Teach me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And when you're willing to hear from Him, that's when change begins. This is a major, man. I can't mess around with this. This is a real deal. We're talking about forgiveness. And when you are, the steps to forgiveness is what sets you free. You got to know that. You got to know that. Listen, if we could turn to two places, please. Genesis 50, turn there, leave a marker. And then Matthew 18. Genesis 50, that is the first book of the Bible. Genesis 50, towards the end, it's actually the last chapter. Genesis 50. And then let's get into this at Matthew 18. If you could turn to Matthew 18, please. That would be fantastic. And I'm asking you in your marriage, I don't know your marriage, I don't know your home, I don't know the relationships you have with family members, but I know this. So I'm asking you that you lay everything aside this morning and hear this. And that you would be willing, after hearing this, to obey what God says. Because this is so real. Point number one of this message is this. If you are a believer, if you understand Christ, then we above all people should be ones to forgive. The forgiven should forgive. The forgiven should forgive. Look at Matthew 18 with me, please. This is what it says. This is how serious God takes this. Then Peter came to him, and you'll see this morning. You'll see that there is not a numeral number. Well, you know, you are hit your limit on how many times I'm to forgive you. You'll see this morning, Jesus wipes that clean. There's not a number that's given that you are allowed to hit a number and say, well, I don't need to forgive you anymore. That number is wiped out. And you're going to see that there isn't a sin or something that is way past the scale on forget. Well, I can forgive you for this, but that's a big one, man. I'm not going to forgive you for that. You're going to see biblically what Jesus says about this, that that is not the case. So there's not a number and there's not a class of wrongdoing that can't be forgiven. I want you to see this. Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Jesus blows it right out of the water. That he's saying, listen, Peter, there's not a number. The number's too big. If they come and ask forgiveness, forgive. If they come and ask for forgiveness, forgive. If they come and ask for forgiveness, forgive. Over and over and over. Now look at verse 23. For this reason, look at Jesus goes into this powerful parable. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. This deals with every person. This deals with you and I as believers. Now, when he began to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. 10,000 talents, highlight that, folks. That is an indication of our sin. 10,000 talents. One talent was worth 15 to 20 years' wage. One talent. Look at what it says. 10,000 talents. You go 10,000 times 15 years, that's 150,000 years. That's a lot of years' wage. You know what? You know what Jesus is saying? Listen, there is a debt that is unpayable. There is a debt that cannot be paid by yourself. That's what this represents. There is a slave. And in that slave, there was this wrongdoing. There was this debt that he owed. And it was a debt that it was an unpayable, measurable debt. Could not be paid. Gang, that's you and I. And that's our sin. That no one can pay the debt of the... You can't work hard enough. You can't go to church enough. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't go to class enough. That is not how you can work to be saved. Your debt of sin, we come before a holy, perfect God. And our debt of sin is putrid and stench to Almighty God. Therefore, He has to send His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross to pay for that sin in which not a person ever, who's ever walked this earth, could pay that sin themselves. Period. That's what He's talking about here. It's an unpayable debt that you cannot pay yourself. So when you see yourself in this story, that's talking about you and I. We come to this place to recognize our sin was so overwhelming that there was nothing, no hard work, no going to church enough, no going to class enough, not belonging to this group or that group could ever pay the price for your sin. Now look what happens here. Verse 25, but since he did not have means to repay it, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife, children, and all that he had, and repayment to be made. Verse 26, so the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. Now notice this, one slave has a debt that can't be paid. And he falls to the ground, prostrates himself before the Lord, saying, before this, the king, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion. Highlight that. Felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. Highlight released him and forgave him. This is huge. Unpayable debt. Go before the Lord. Cry out before the Lord. And the Lord has compassion. The Bible says that he was released him. That word release, it means to free fully, folks. When we recognize what it is that we have been forgiven before God, that we are fully free. Another meaning of that is to let it die. If you get anything out of this message this morning, remember these words, let it die. When we recognize what it is to forgive, to be forgiven, our Father let our sin die. When something dies, it's dead. And you don't bring it back to life. Folks, when we let sin die in our relationships, don't you dare bring that thing back to life. Don't you dare bring that back to remembrance. Don't you dare throw that in the face of the other. Don't you dare bring it up again and again and again. Wouldn't it be awful if that's what God did for you and I? Well, Sean, you remember you sinned. Remember you did this. Remember you did that. Sean, you remember you were so dirty. Remember, Sean, you were so... Remember, Sean, you... Aren't you glad we have a Father who lets it go and releases it and lets it die? And then the word forgive here. Same type of meaning. It means leave it alone. Let it pass. That's forgiveness, folks. Let it pass. Leave it alone. Let it go. Let it die. To be fully free. Now look at this. Verse 28. But that slave that just was forgiven of a debt that could never be paid back, the Lord felt compassion upon this slave. This slave was fully free of a debt that he could never pay back. He was to be put in jail, him, his family, never ever to be released. And this is, look at this. But now that slave went out, found his fellow slave who owed him 100 denarii. Okay, we're talking about a comparison here of a debt that could never ever be paid back to a debt that was 100 days wage. 150,000 years wage compared to 100 denarii, which was only 100 days wage. 1 denarii was 1 day's wage. Uncomparable, folks. Uncomparable. And look at the response of this slave. Look what happens to him. He just was forgiven of a huge, unforgivable debt. Now look at this. This slave owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him, began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So this fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, verse 26, so this slave fell to the ground prostrate before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. Verse 29, so this fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. Doesn't that sound familiar? The one slave fell before his Lord, said, please forgive me of this debt. The Lord forgives him. Another slave does the exact same verbiage, falls before this slave, falls before this master, and cries out to him. Look at verse 30. But this slave was unwilling, and he went and threw him in prison, till he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw that, I mean, if that doesn't get you to say, that just doesn't make sense. How could he be forgiven so much and then turn right around and not forgive. Folks, this is the deal. Those who have been forgiven should be most able to forgive because we recognize what it is to be set free. Please understand that. Now look at this. And then they summoned him as Lord, and he said, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." Would you say that our heavenly Father takes forgiveness pretty serious when you begin to recognize what this means? Colossians 3:13 says this, folks. "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy beloved, put on a heart of compassion." There's that word compassion again. You'll see compassion and forgiveness linked. "Put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." If you're going to be one who truly understands what it is to forgive, you need to be humble. Pride will get in the way of forgiveness. "Well, I'm not going to forgive you that. You're way down here, I'm up here. I can't believe you. I'm not going to forgive you that." That's pride. Humility is tied to forgiveness. Heart of compassion and kindness, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says this. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you, along with all malice." How? Folks, when you begin to recognize that there is this wall that begins to be built up, when there is unforgiveness, when somebody does aught against me and my pride sticks up and I hold my ground and say, "I'm not going to let that go. I can't believe you did that to me. I can't believe you hurt me like that. I can't believe you came against me like that." And we hold that forgiveness back and we don't actually forgive, then what takes place? Bitterness, wrath, anger. Listen, you can't sleep at night because you're so mad and you're so angry and you're so uptight and you just refuse. To forgive. Look at, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you, along with all malice." How? "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other." Let it go. Let it die. Now listen, again, there's a difference between forgiveness and trust. We're talking about releasing that anger, releasing that bitterness, releasing that malice. Malice is just absolute thoughts of pure evil. That's what malice means. How? You be kind. You're tenderhearted. That means compassion. Compassion and forgiveness are tied. Forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. When we understand and we recognize the seriousness of what it is to forgive, how? How can I forgive that person? Just as God in Christ forgave you. He buried it in the deepest part of the sea. He's removed it as far as the east is from the west. And God tells us to do the same. Folks, why are we holding on to a grudge? Folks, in your marriage, between husband and wife, is there anything? Is there something there that you refuse, that you're holding on to, that you won't grant forgiveness for? And you know that there is beginning to build a wall in that marriage and in that relationship. Is there a wall between sister and sister? Is there a wall between brother and brother? Is there a wall between brother and sister? Is there a wall between parents and their children or children and their parents because of unforgiveness? And God instructs us, if you want to be set free, if you want to put away bitterness and wrath and anger and malice, if you want to put away slander, then to be set free is to forgive, is to let it go, is to release it, is to leave it alone, is to let it die. There is power when we recognize what it is to forgive. Would you agree with me that God expects us as His children to forgive, just as He forgave? There's power in that, folks. There's power in that. If you could put up Matthew 6, please. And point number two to this is, once you recognize how serious God takes forgiveness, then why do we let these walls begin to separate us, and these barriers begin to build up between you. You want to knock those walls down between husband and wife. You want to knock those barriers down that's come between what once was a solid, amazing marriage, what once was an amazing home, what once was a solid relationship home. You want to begin to knock those barriers down and come back to that place of restoration, come back to that place of where God set marriage to be. Then we have got to come and understand what forgiveness is. For if you forgive others of the transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you your transgressions. Now, this is not dealing with your salvation. Please get this. This is, if you are saved and you recognize that I was lost, Jesus died for me, I've confessed that He is Lord, He is Master, He is Supreme, I've surrendered my life to Him, I see His word and obey. If you understand that Christ has been raised from the dead, you are safe. You are saved. That is not the forgiveness. But gang, listen, God sets Scripture up as a father-son-daughter relationship. God sets it up that He is our Heavenly Father, that He has adopted us as His children. And we call Him Abba Father. And in that relationship, God set up relationship. In that relationship, if we don't come before Him as His children, in the different sins that we may commit, in the different things that we do that we know are against Him, and we don't come before Him and ask for forgiveness, guess what's taking place? Layers and walls and barriers. You ever feel distant from God? You ever recognize what it was once to be in such a relationship with God, once to understand His glory, understand His presence? You get down by your couch or by your bedside and you just begin to cry out to God. You know that He's right there. You know His presence is coming. You know that you're crying out and God is hearing you. And you've had that relationship. And then sin shows up. And it just begins to build, and it begins to build, and begins to build. And then all of a sudden you feel distant from God. Well, why is that? Because you've allowed barriers and you've allowed walls to come in. Because you refuse to go before God as a father and ask Him for forgiveness. Well, it's the same thing in relationship. We once had a thriving, incredible marriage, an incredible relationship. And because of unforgiveness, there's been walls and there's been barriers that have set up. And we just can't punch through them. Well, probably because there's unforgiveness. You haven't been set free. Folks, this is huge. This is huge. We've got to understand this. Come on. Turn to Genesis 50, please. You know, you could go through so many different scriptures and so many different characters in scripture about what it is to forgive and to see unforgiveness in Bible characters and then forgiveness. And these are men and women just like you and I, man. These aren't the superheroes, man. They don't got capes. They don't fly. They don't turn invisible. Ain't got fire coming out there. I mean, these are men and women of faith. And look at this. I want you to see this. Genesis 50, verse 15 says this. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays back in full for all the wrong which we did to him?" Okay, you got to figure this out. You just take verse 15. Right? So Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, and they said this. Well, what if Joseph was the youngest brother of the whole crew. What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him? You would think, okay, if I don't know the story, how bad could it have been? I got brothers and sisters, and it really isn't all that bad. Okay, here, let me go back to Genesis 37, folks. We ain't got time. Brennan, you can come up. I just want to kick this through. You got to understand this, okay? You got this gentleman named Joseph, 17-year-old dude. He's got dad who is Jacob. He's got a whole crew of brothers, right? And they're all older. And Joseph was the youngest one of his father in his old age. So here, Jacob favored Joseph, the 17-year-old. He thought Joseph was it. He loved Joseph. He cared for Joseph. It even says that Jacob admired Joseph most among all his brothers. And he gave him this multicolored coat. He just put this air around Joseph as one that he loved the most. Well, you would think that Joseph might be careful with that, right? You would think, okay, so here dad sends him out to the field to check out there's all a whole family full of shepherds, and his brothers are out tending to the sheep, right? And then you would think, right, Joseph comes back to his dad and gives a bad report. I mean, he begins to rat on his own. I don't know, man. Dad, I think they were kicking the sheep. Dad, I think, you know, they were sleeping on the job. Dad, they were doing. You should have seen what Reuben did to one of the. You should have seen what Gad did to. You should have seen what Ishmael did to one of the. And he just began to rat on his own. That's never a good idea. He began to tattletale on his older brothers. And then dad makes him this multicolored coat. So he goes back out to the field and say, Dad loves me best. Dad loves me best. I'm Dad's favorite. Look at the coat. You don't have a coat. You don't have a coat like I got a coat. Dad loves me. He made me this. And okay, that's a bad idea. So the Bible says that his brothers began to get angry with him. You would think, right? I mean, yeah, I think that's fair. And they began to hate him. So then he has a dream. And this dream is one where he comes back out to the field and tells his brothers, I had a dream. You don't dream like I dream. I had a dream. And in this dream, all of you were going to bow down and worship me, and I was going to reign over you. Okay, the Bible says that they began to hate him even more. And their anger against him, that they were very unkind to him. So we know that his brothers treated him unkindly. They didn't like him. They hated him. You would think if this 17-year-old would go, I probably should be very careful on the next thing that I do. Well, he has another dream. And he comes back out to the field. And he begins to brag to his brothers again. Again, I had a dream. And you all are going to fall down and worship me. And I'm going to reign over you. And the Bible says that they were so irritated that they hated him even more. And then the next time he comes out to the field, they began to talk. Oh, look, here comes that dreamer. Oh, let's kill him. Let's take him out. Well, then Reuben says, you know what, maybe we shouldn't kill him. So they throw him in a pit. They say, well, that's not going to do us any good. And then they sell him into slavery. And then, this is the brothers, this is the family. And then the ones that he sold them to, sells him into slavery. So he went from bragging, he went from top, Dad loves me best, I'm on the team, this is amazing, to being hated, to being talked about being killed, to thrown into a pit to die, taken out of the pit, sold into slavery, taken them, they again sell him into slavery. And here through his life, God had great amazing favor on Joseph, put him in an amazing place. I mean, there's a whole story to this. But the end of the road, okay, after all this, they do come before him. He's put in one of the highest positions in all of Egypt. And his brothers come down and bow before him. And you know what they're concerned of? Wow, he's in such a position. I hope he didn't hold a grudge. Folks, this isn't like eating the last piece of bread. I mean, this is like we did him some serious, awful wrong. We wanted to take his life. We told his father, our father, that he was dead, and his father has grieved for years and years and years in belief. And Joseph, who loved his father and loved his brother Benjamin, was to never see them again in his mind. You could imagine the hurt, you could imagine the pain, and he was in a position to have their heads removed. Folks, what would you do when you have been so wronged and so wronged and so wrong that changed the course of your life to rip you out of the family which you loved? And here's Joseph's response. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Isn't it amazing? The very first thing he does is remove fear. Perfect love casts out fear. The first thing he does, brothers, for years and years and years, you've carried this thing. But what you meant for evil, God has turned around for good. And all these years you've carried this. And I'm in a position now that I can see fear in your eyes, that I may hold that grudge and I may come against you. The first thing he did was to remove that fear. How many times in our marriage, in our homes, husbands and wives, that there is this fear that I have screwed up, and if I actually come and admit, and if I actually come before my husband or my wife and admit and repent and ask for forgiveness, that there is a fear. There is a fear that forgiveness won't be granted. The first thing he does, folks, do not be afraid. For am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, he says it again, do not be afraid. I will provide for you, you little ones, and your little ones. And so he comforted them, and he spoke kindly to them. Isn't it amazing? We hear it all the time about the words we speak, that if we speak kindly, it puts things at ease. Folks, he was compassionate to his brothers. He was kind to his brothers. He removed fear. And you know what he did? He forgave them. And then we know that he died. I mean, you see the end of all Genesis, the last verse. So Joseph died at the age of 110 years. Okay, from verse 21, where forgiveness is granted, to verse 26, that's a 56-year span. And I look at that and I think, you know what, God, it is never too late to restore a relationship. For 56 years, he had a relationship with his family that he's never had. He had a relationship with his brothers that he's never had before. For 56 years, as he ended his life, he could end it knowing that there's peace between him and his brothers. Folks, it is never, ever too late. Never too late to forgive. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. Just grab the hand of your husband or wife or children. I'm just asking you to be so real this morning. You be so wide open. And if there is anything in that family or anything within that home, that there would be a repentance and there would be a turn and there would be forgiveness granted. For we see the seriousness of it in his word. We understand that God has made it very clear. You have to forgive. You have to forgive. You have to forgive. You who understand how I have forgiven you, how dare you not grant forgiveness to another? You want to understand what is that road to restoration in your home? It's forgiveness, folks. There is a freedom, there is a release that comes to forgiveness. Man, I ask that you would come with great humility before the family, before your husband, before your wife, before your children. If parents have to go before their children and ask for forgiveness on how they've treated the children and how they've treated one another in front of the children. Folks, I want your families to walk in fullness of life. I want your homes to be full of life, that you have a marriage relationship that is a God home. That there is life in your home and there is excitement to be there and there is forgiveness and there is peace and there is joy and there is kindness and there is compassion and there is a tender heart within those walls of home. That there is a sense that says, listen, if there is wrong done, I will forgive. I will let it die. I will let it go. I will leave it alone. In this house, this is a place that there is safety, that there is forgiveness because I know how I have been forgiven of my sin. And that God doesn't hold a grudge against me. Therefore, I cannot hold a grudge against you. Folks, if we would get this, our families would change. Our homes would change. There would be life in our homes. So I'm asking you, please take this. Please take this. Ditch the pride. Please ditch the pride. And come before one another humbly and say, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. Those are words that will change your home. Those are words that will make a difference. They are impact words to say, I'm so sorry. Would you please forgive me? Folks, if you can do that, if you can recognize what it is between a husband and wife, to say, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. You will see a difference in your home today. God, help us to get this, please. Father, thank you. Amen.